Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Almost Famous Minute, where we're discussing the 2000 Cameron Crowe film, Almost Famous, 1 minute at a time. I'm Eric Nash from Feels Like Weezer.
I'm Dave Forsyth from Edge of Tomorrow Minute.
And I'm Father David Mowry from FatherDavidMowry.com.
Yeah, the Davids. Thank you both for being on all three of these minutes here, right in the middle.
Well, when you light the David signal, I gotta come running.
Yeah, we got the squad together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I was saying, this is right in the middle. This is minute 60. Ah, thank you.
1 hour! Woohoo!
This is,
yeah.
this is the movie itself is like 3 minutes over 2 hours, so, but that's including the credits, and whether I do the credits is still up for grabs.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's exactly according to movie by minutes orthodoxy. I don't know, we might have to have an intervention here, Eric. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk off mic.
Yeah. But so this is minute 60, and it starts with Dick trying to convince Russell to rejoin the band, and ends with Dick guiding Russell back to the bus.
Dick has done this before. This is not the first time Dick has had to sweet talk Russell into coming back to rehearsal, to recording session, to performance, to the tour, you name it. This is a pattern, because no way is Dick this smooth just on the first time he encounters this kind of rock and roll star peak. He is very gentle. He presents it as if everything is going to be exactly the way Russell wants it. Tell you what, we'll go to Greenville, listen to some nice music, then we'll play the rest of the tour, and then we'll leave those fools behind, and then you'll come back here, where you'll live.
and that ungrateful fools is actually, you know, I mean, he's saying this after we'll finish the tour, and we'll, you know, he's talking about the rest of the band as these ungrateful fools. It's promising a delay of what Russell's already into, which is, you know, leaving the band, you know, giving up that part of his life for this other one.
It shows some foresight on Dick's part to not, you know, to go in there alone. Right, to not bring the rest of the band in. Because he definitely would not have been able to placate Russell as well.
Well, that's going to be a negotiation non-starter. You bring the rest of the band in there. You bring Jeff in there. Jeff is just going to rip Russell a new one. It's like, this is exactly what I was talking about. You're so selfish. You're so self-centered. Blah, blah, blah. It's just going to make things worse. There's going to be no tour if the other members of the band are there.
I do like the way that Russell sort of, he's giving that messed up, hungover look. He's almost playing more messed up from this than he was from getting electrocuted, right? Like, he seemed to recover from that fairly quickly. And I like the moment where they're breaking through the gate, where he's sort of like staring that 10,000-yard stare or whatever it is. And and here it goes on a bit longer and exhibits more signs, like. Again, he's as susceptible to suggestion as he was last night, but then he also gets that angry reaction, and you know he's sort of all over the place in terms of a.
He doesn't strike me as being hungover. He strikes me as still being high.
Yeah, exactly. That's more of yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He has not come down off of the acid, even though William was very explicit. Please do not give him any more acid. Thank you.
Well, he is still clutching a bottle of, I don't know, something brown, Jack Daniels.
That's true. Yeah, so maybe he just transitioned to some Southern comfort there.
Something, yeah.
I love Russell's delivery where he's talking in a pretty normal voice for "I see what you're doing," and then kind of almost whispers that, "and I like it." You know, and it's almost that kind of it's not slurred, but it's that kind of drunk, you know, kind of, you know, some people when they're drunk, they're kind of happy and positive, and others can get nasty and stuff, but he is at this point, at least not for long, pretty agreeable, and he's even so agreeable that when Dick seems to want to be up for carrying Russell, but both pretty thin guys, but you know, I don't know how much actual muscles they might have in their arms or
that made my back hurt watching that.
Yeah.
Because Dick is definitely not just lifting with the knees.
Oh, yeah.
He's lifting with his back as well. And that's a good way to put himself in traction.
Yeah.
I do like the kid in the blue shirt with the stripy arms who kind of looks like he might be the, you know, the backup quarterback in the high school football team. Oh, yeah.
He could have carried.
Yeah, he's itching to get in there and help. But then, you know, Dick sets Russell down and he's able to be ambulatory. So it's good, I think. But yeah, Russell's got that classic drunk whisper, like, "I like it." You know, like,
That weird state of mind where you are aware that you are being manipulated, but you're going along with it because it strikes you as funny, I guess.
and additionally, like I was saying, agreeable, and he says, you know, he gets Dick to let him walk instead of being carried. You know, I got it, man. Go ahead, Dave. Father David.
Well, I don't want to pass over the excitement of the boys having a rock star living in their basement, which conjures up visions of a 1970s basement in Topeka, and I can just see nothing but shag carpeting and wood panels as far as the eye can see.
Oh yeah, a gigantic television that with big knobs that have clicky chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh boy. Aluminum foil on the antenna, probably.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they would put a TV in the basement because there wouldn't be cable. It would be antenna.
True.
Would you get signal down there?
When they show the outside shot, there is an aerial on top of the top of the house, as if someone had prepared to answer this question for us.
Those continuity people, they're so good at their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2000 or 1999, really, probably 99, 2000. Those antennas were still up a good bit.
Just because people were too lazy to get up there and take them down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not really functioning. but now, actually, in today's age, it would be really neat to have something that could maybe pick up something from hundreds of miles away.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Now, I raise the point of continuity, but then we have this weird warping of space and time that happens as Russell walks away. Because while Dick is sweet talking him, we can, you know, it looks to me that William is in the background of that shot.
Mm. Yeah, I do see him back. Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Oh man,
because there he is with his arms crossed.
He is way back there,
and his bowl haircut. And then as Russell walks, stage right. All of a sudden, he's passing our hero. So I don't know if he was heading the wrong direction and the Dick had to turn him around, or if it's just the shot composition was papered over. And like, well, if people are paying attention to this, we've done something wrong.
Good eye.
Mm. You know, I had some notes about that exact thing, but I just took them with my eyes, so I don't know. I don't actually know what they are anymore. So.
Well, you know what, listeners? I know that free stuff is awesome, but free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. Through the Pantheon Network and this show, Almost Famous Minute, at Adam and Eve, you get to select almost any one item for 50% off. And then Adam and Eve loads on the free stuff.
just make sure you enter offer code AFMPOD at checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. You can get a sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. And on top of all that, you also get 6 free spicy movies. Yeah, that's right, movies. I know you all like movies because you listen to this podcast about the movie Almost Famous. Finally, you also get free shipping. That's right. Can't do better than that. That's AFMPOD, AFMPOD, at adamandeve.com. Just type in AFMPOD at checkout. It's all happening.
It's all happening. Happening.
Yeah, so that's what, you know, Russell seems to all of a sudden out of damn near nowhere get upset with William. And after the taking notes with his eyes accusation, you know, he then additionally says, "How do we know you're not a cop? Huh?" And then the enemy comes back. That great little nickname is the least ever throughout this whole movie said in jest. You know, another point, you know, I mean, it's just this funny little thing that's being said most of the time.
Then the music cuts out entirely.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so
yeah.
The chill, bluesy sound that we had throughout the scene all of a sudden is gone to punctuate this moment of tension between Russell and William, which I find to be excellent sound design.
And it's definitely, these are really hurtful comments to William, right? Oh, like yeah. You see it on him. He thinks that he and Russell have bonded over this experience. Like he's finding the whole pursuit of sincerity to be a charming thing. Like he's liking what he sees in Russell, even though it's sort of derailing the whole rock star story for him. But then this attack clearly hits him hard. You can see it in his face. And
yeah. I mean,
the kids that are around him even shrink back a little bit from the outburst, right? It's the reality of having a maniac now living in their basement.
Less it's like, exciting. All of a sudden, maybe cool. Not in the basement, maybe in the shed in the yard. Maybe that'd be a good place to put him.
Yeah, he can just live in the pool. That's fine.
Maybe this was the kind of thing that Lester wanted to save William from, because Lester was insistent, you can't make friends with him. Do not be friends with the stars. Don't be friends with the musicians. Because maybe Lester has seen this kind of volatility, this radical swing from one to the other, where you think you're getting close to the person, but there's this moment, whether it's because they're high on their own ego or they're high on some other controlled substance, where all of a sudden this other emotional outburst comes out because the musician's inhibitions are down, or they're not thinking clearly, or they're just giving voice to something that they wouldn't in the normally sober events. But as the reporter, as you feel like you're getting to know this person, you're suddenly seeing a very raw, vulnerable moment. And you, as a friend, you would want to confront that person about it. But as a reporter, you want to write that down and not talk to the person about it, because you're maintaining this objectivity and you're going to let people see these musicians as they actually are.
Well, and Dick, after this outburst, and when Dick kind of gets Russell to, you know, he says, "Easy, easy." But then to William, he says, "Don't worry, he only means half of what he says." and you know, I mean, that you know, well it's William's then comment back is which half, you know, and that's that objectivity that you're talking about. I mean, it's, you know, I think he does care a bit, you know, he certainly, you know, you can't not take it personally.
Yeah, I mean, even half of that is still really hurtful. Yeah, I mean, even if he means only half of it, like, all of that was pretty bad, so I don't know why him only meaning half of it really makes it that much better.
Maybe he just means in life in general, right? Like, Russell's maybe only half sincere, so you could forget about this that he just said and believe that the good stuff is the real stuff.
Yeah, remember his last words.
Yeah, right. Although he did say that he was on drugs twice, right? So
So which of those are his last words?
Exactly. Yeah. So if he only means half of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, and this goes back to what I was saying last week. Russell is not cool in this moment. Mm-hmm. He has this outburst. Now, it's not totally unexpected. I mean, the nickname of the enemy, yes, is given in jest, but every joke has a kernel of truth in it. Yeah. So there's always been this guardedness, this animosity, if not animosity, maybe just wariness of William's presence that's now being given a very aggressive expression. But it's this outburst puts a punctuation mark on William seeing the cool rock star mask slip. It started with that moment of crisis with the band where things are starting to break up. He goes searching for what's real. He goes to this party. He gets high. He jumps in the pool. And now he's being sweet-talked by the manager in order to get back on the bus. And he has this big outburst all up in William's face. I mean, that's a lot to see. And it's well outside the usually carefully controlled image of the musician on stage performing for the audience with a very set understanding of the roles there between performer and audience member. Now everything is being really jumbled together. And so in this kind of setting, it's hard to be cool.
Yeah. You'd think that the expectations of you're seeing your rock stars have a breakdown at this point you're not expecting something emotionally vulnerable like that. Like you would expect them to destroy a hotel room or, you know, check into rehab or, you know, date the third supermodel that week or whatever. But, this sort of deeply personal, emotional instability is really not what you're expecting from your 70s rock star for sure.
Well, you mentioned the kids, especially like here in the kitchen, I took note of the couple teenagers on the right, a guy and a girl, and then the guy has his arm over the girl's shoulders as you know, Dick and Russell are walking by, and Russell's starting to turn back, you know, and I almost feel like this could be a little bit, at least at this part of what these two extras, actors, whatever have you, are doing. Are being directed to do, you know, a little bit of the as is, you know, I think roughly right now, probably as this comes out, North by Northwest is wrapping up and definitely already had. I listened to the episodes with might have been Tierney and Megan, where they talk about the they had the kid with his hands over his ears for the gunshot.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be the case here. But what then continues to happen with this couple, this young couple, after Russell is let out, gets a little bit calmer, is let out, then, you know, it's almost this hug or making out, that almost half making out that they start to do for some reason. It's like, okay, yeah, it's 8 or whatever in the morning, and we've had this rock star here all night at this party that we're at, and let's start making out now.
Well, to me, they have a moment where they're clutching each other as Russell has grabbed William by his lapels, and they're freaked out that this is happening. And I think the kind of quasi hug turn around is just the two of them turning like, okay, don't make eye contact. Yeah. Who knows what he's going to do next? Just be cool. Just, you know, let him leave the house and let's not do anything stupid.
It could be any reason for teenagers to touch each other, you know, that's sort of a, like, here, baby, I have saved you from the violent rock star. Oh, you are now my hero. Okay, let's make out. You know, that's the natural progression of teenaging, I think.
And just with it on repeat here on my screen in front of me, those two are also transported like William from they're just to the left of Russell's head when Dick is leaning over back at seconds, you know.
Oh, sure.
Two through eight or whatever.
Oh, yeah, there they
and
are.
And there'll be, you know, he's being all handsy. Then, too.
Without doubt, they are transported. Yep. Well, I want to, at this point, I want to give a special shout out to William's urgency in going home because it is making its last appearance in this film. After minute 60, we no longer hear this kind of tone in William's voice. And there's really no explanation for it, as far as I can tell. He loses any fear of his mother. He doesn't have any sense of, I gotta make up the test that I have. I gotta walk for my graduation. You know, that here, there's a sense that I have a deadline. I've got to get this interview because I need to go home. Not that I have things to do or I need to get the story to the magazine. I need to go home. So to me, this moment is Will kind of realizing maybe this wasn't all I thought it was going to be. And this isn't going to be as much fun as I thought it was going to be, because seeing Russell like this has changed the way I think about things. So now I really want to make it clear that I need this interview because I need to go home. But for some reason, that urgency just kind of disappears after Greenville.
Yeah. Well, there's the one thing that happens pretty immediately here. I think that could in the next couple minutes. But then a few minutes from now, there's the other thing. And when you said loses, I thought you were going somewhere else with that. So.
Well, Eric, I don't know. Yeah. I have no possible idea what you could be referring to. I'm a man of integrity and virtue. I don't know what kind of action you could be referring to.
Yeah.
Yes, well, there is that.
But yeah, I think it's a great point, though. Yeah, he definitely simmers down on wanting to get this over with. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is extremely that way right now, but for the rest of the time. He's pretty okay with continuing.
I wonder if a more seasoned rock journalist at this point would have just not gotten on that bus and arranged their own way home and, you know, charged it back to Rolling Stone and said, I've got what I need. You know, like, what's he going to get out of an interview with Russell that is going to help? You know, he's got plenty to write a story at this point. But yeah, I understand that, you know, being a teenager who's probably only ever been given rides places at this point, you know, he may not have a concept of how to get himself home at this from Topeka. So,
and Dick's response, you know, that's really, you know, pretty interesting. You know, look, you saved the tour and that's good enough for now. All right.
Dick, you know, has had enough. He cannot deal with anything else. He had to get the whole band on the bus to drive to, you know, Smallville, Kansas, in order to pick up Russell. And then he had to sweet talk Russell out of the house. And now he's got this whiny journalist / teenager. And he just can't deal with it. He has, look, save the tour. That's enough for now. I also love how Dick very smoothly, in doing that, hands off Russell's boots to William.
Oh, yeah.
he's carrying all of Russell's stuff and then just very smoothly foists it onto William in this maybe almost symbolic moment that, no, William, you're still stuck. Here is stuff that you still need to carry because you're in this for the long haul with us.
And I guess maybe it's, you know, Dick feels like the boots have been keeping him from being able to corral Russell. I mean, you know, Russell is gone off over into this flower bed here. And, you know, Dick needs both of his hands, you know, available to get Russell where he needs to be.
And I guess they're too late, unfortunately, because he's not able to stop Russell from hurting the flower. I hurt the flower. Rolling down Highway
41. I was really expecting some teenager to come bursting out of that house demanding their swim trunks back.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
I was expecting there to be teenagers bursting out of that bush that Russell goes over to investigate. Because you got these two fine citizens of Topeka just hanging out by the car outside.
Yeah, first they're kind of, well, one is fully sitting, the other one is, you know, just on his, you know, just crouched down. But
So they're just, I had this vision of just kids just kind of scattered all throughout the front and backyards of this house after this absolute wild night with the guitarist of Stillwater.
And then, you know, similar to the questioning of your term of the your use of the term loses, Russell says, "I hurt the flower." Is that kind of a metaphor for, you know, his relationships? His
everything I touch turns to dust. Yeah.
I can't keep a relationship, you know. I'm just going to screw it up constantly by getting with the groupies. Oh, sorry, Band-Aids.
If this was the almost famous HBO miniseries, I think we would have that. We would have time for that kind of introspection.
Yeah. And then we get a whole bottle episode with Penny and Russell, you know, and where there's lots of connotation of her being a flower.
It writes itself. All right, let's get HBO on the line. Look, you remember Eric Nash? Yeah, he did Watchmen Minute, and then you did an HBO miniseries of Watchmen. So I think clearly now that he's done Almost Famous Minute, you need to do the Almost Famous miniseries.
Sounds perfect.
This is just science. This just makes sense.
Well, after Cameron Crowe's kind of failed attempt at a series, I'm pretty sure on HBO. And it was either that I keep getting them confused. It's either the one that was called Vinyl or Roadies, and there were both podcasts about them on the network, the Pantheon Podcast Network, that are no longer up and running because they are no longer shows. But and I will be in their same situation at some point in about a year or so.
Pretty sure Roadies was Cameron Crowe's.
Probably, yeah. Anything else? Any other notes for this minute, fellas?
I did sort of half expect there to be a rooster crowing as they stepped out of the house there, but it does look more afternoon sunlighty out there as opposed to the morning sun when the bus rounded the corner. But maybe it took him a little bit longer to get Russell out of the pool, you know, when he got there, so...
Dave, since we've already had you on before and you've talked about your history with the movie, like we talked with Father David last minute, any other kind of bigger revelations that you'd want to talk about, say a little something about for the whole movie in general?
I think, you know, specifically about these particular minutes, I really hope that this house that they're filming in, remains in the exact same decor state that it was when they filmed this. You know, I'm hoping that this was the exact same state it was in when it was first built and occupied, and they found it that way in the year 2000, and then it remains that way to this day because it's a glorious time capsule to the mid 70s there. I think that's my bigger revelation.
Father David, you can say whatever you like and go into some talk about in greater detail any projects you got going.
Well, the only project I have is the gospel. Yeah. So on my website, fatherdavidmowry.com, I have all of the appearances I have of various Movies by Minutes shows. Feel free to take a look-see through those. I also post there somewhat infrequently in terms of a blog with some reflections on movies and current events and other sorts of things. Other than that, just ask everyone to take to heart the message of this movie is that there's no need to be cool. You just have to see things for what they are. You know, that, you know, sometimes you're in a plane over Tupelo, Mississippi, and you're all going to die, and that's when the truth really comes out. And it kind of feels like we're in a plane over Tupelo, Mississippi, and we're all going to die, at least in early June of 2020. So when people are saying things and that kind of era of crisis and high tension, we should pay attention to what they have to say and try to hear not just the words, but to hear the music underneath the words, to hear where those words are coming from. And whether that's in important social issues of the day, whether that's about things as important as truth, or whether it's, you know, just someone saying that they're on drugs. It's crucial that we make sure we hear each other.
What was that you said?
It's crucial. that's a good joke. That was funny.
Thank you very much. That was great insight and thoughts you have on that. Dave, you have a quick little plug you want to give or remind us about?
No, I'm not going to try and follow that. Nope. We'll just move on.
Well, the way I'll follow it is with for the Movies by Minutes community. Make sure everyone go check out moviesbyminutes.com for all 160 other shows that are happening right now, or that have happened or are happening right now. I think there's actually even one that is still yet to come, but they amazingly put up quite a while ago. I'm waiting for it. I'd love to listen to it. Wizard of Oz minute. Where are you?
Yeah.
Thank you both. You've both had a lot of great insight, and I certainly look forward to talking with you more, going and doing more of these crazy podcasts or other, hopefully someday, meetups in real life, as I've already met Father
Dare
David
we dream
two or three times over the past few years.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been fun as always.
Thanks so much, guys. So that was Minute 60 this week. We'll be back next week with a pair of new guests for Minute 61. And until then, it's all happening.
It is all happening.
I am a golden god!
Yeah! 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 And I was born in the backseat of a Greyhound bus, rolling down Highway 41.
You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.